pray. Most glorious, wonderful Father, we, your people, pray to you now. We, your people, are coming before you now, O Lord God, in Christ, through faith, by your Spirit. We are asking, O Lord God, now that we would learn of you and we would be changed and transformed by you right now, O Lord God. Father, we now are going to declare your word. We know that your word does not return void. And so we look forward now with great anticipation, though in weakness, to coming before you and hearing from you, learning of you, O Lord God. Asking you in this time, Father, to shape our minds and our hearts and our very souls, Lord God. Father, this time is for you, but it is also from you, O Lord God. Would you please accomplish your purposes and your will in us in this time? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we have a wonderful greeting time. I like that. It's really, really a special, I think, component to our service here. And we, middle of service, get to greet one another. And over the years I've been here, over 15 years now, we always try to fine-tune the order of service and find the best way to have service. And we've tried to move the greeting time, either the beginning or the end, or saying, gee, let's get rid of the greeting time. It takes too much time and all of that. And for us, for our family here, other congregations are different, but for us, when we mess around with that greeting time, things just don't go well for us as a family here. It's just, we're out of sync. It's remarkable. It's not the case in lots of other churches. So I love that time. We have that access to one another, right? We have free access to walk up to one another and shake hands and say hi and give a hug and we can get close to one another. That's very different than it is with, say, the President of the United States. That's very, very different. You and I, by and large, do not have free access to the President of the United States. We can't just go and call him up on the phone and expect him to pick up and say, hey, George here, how you doing? Right? I can't just go and drive over to George's house, knock on the door and kind of say, hey, and kind of walk into his office. Say, how you doing? What's going on? I got a question for you. And by and large, frankly, that's a good thing, right? If 300 million of us were calling up President George Bush regularly to say, I got a question, can you help me out with something? The country wouldn't run. We wouldn't be able to function. So it's a good thing. But we do not have that personal access. We do not have ready, free access to the President of the United States. This past Monday, Michael Cassidy had a real honor. He was invited to attend a ceremony on the South Lawn of the White House for the President's remarks about volunteerism. It was a group of about 500 or 600 people who got invited. And he went through this whole rigmarole of they got the invitation, had to confirm and had to give plans and had to tell who he was and provide information, do background checks again and again and again, just so he could even be there. Had to get there a few hours early and go through this gate and go here and wait over here and sit when they said sit and stand when they said stand and get out when they said get out. But he was very close to the President of the United States. He was in the 9th row. That's pretty close. There were some glitches in the system, I guess, huh? They didn't check him out very well. You didn't get a call, Chris, for a reference check? President Bush does have direct access to Chris if he wanted to, or any of us. But even though Michael was part of this very select, wonderful crowd and group here and was that close, even Michael couldn't just walk up to the stage and say, hey, you doing? How you doing there, President Bush? Shake his hand like we can here. Even that close proximity, we still do not have direct access to the President of the United States. Well, what is it like with God? What is our access? What is our relationship? What is our communion? What is our ability to connect intimately, personally with God? We like to think that's different, but why do we know that? And in what ways is it different? And how do we connect with God? Well, for this, as for all things, we turn to the Scriptures to answer these questions. Not our imagination, not our hopes or wishes. We turn to the Scriptures. And so let's turn now to the Scriptures to see, what is it? How do we? How can we? And in what ways do we have access to God Almighty? Please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. We're continuing on in our study of the book of Ephesians. This morning we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. As we come through the first two chapters, there's a recap here. Chapter 1 is all about praise be to God because He has, and all those words that we wrestled with, elected us, predestined us, chosen us, inherited us, all these things that He has done for us. Praise God for all of that. And then in chapter 2, Paul is going on and talking more about how God took us who were dead and made us alive, not because we're wonderful, but because God is gracious. How He took us who were far away and made us close in Christ. Same theme. God elected. God chose us to be His children, picked us to be His children. He took us when we were dead and made us close to Him, brought us in fellowship with Him. And then in the first half of chapter 3, Paul's been elaborating on that still and saying it was an unexpected way that God did this, that God redeemed us, saved us, chose us, predestined us. It was in an unexpected way. It wasn't just for the Jews, but the mystery of God revealed is that in His kingdom, He is redeeming both Jews and Gentiles into equal relationship, wonderful, intimate relationship with God the Father. And then we come here to verse 12 and 13. Follow along with me, please, as we read. Paul says to the church at Ephesus and surrounding area, "In Him, in Christ, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." In these brief verses here, Paul is talking about entering into God's presence. Entering into God's presence. It's not a new theme. Paul began to talk about this back in chapter 2, verse 18. Just look right back there with me. As he's talking about how God has made us close, who took us who were far away, who were dead, and made us close to God through Jesus. It says in verse 18, "For through Him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access to the Father by one Spirit." We have access to the Father. So he's already talked about this access, this being and coming into the presence of God. And now he's elaborating on that. He's not talking here, Paul's not talking here about we're going to have access someday in heaven. He's not talking about a future day to come, although that is true. And for all eternity, thanks be to God, those who are born again will be with God forever in His presence. But Paul is talking here about here and now. Access to God here and now. Being in God's presence, entering God's presence here and now, today. And so Paul goes on to describe and state the first fact, which for us may seem so simple, but is so utterly profound when we fully capture, particularly chapter 2, that we were dead and God is amazing, God is great. Paul says in verse 12, we may approach God. We may approach God. Friends, you and I may not approach the President of the United States. And again, we said for good reason. But when we are, and we'll describe how and why and what means, Paul is laying out here and stating that for Christians, we may approach the Creator and sustainer of the universe, the mighty God, Lord of all creations. It is God who is reigning victorious and gloriously over all. And we may approach Him. We get this a bit confused, I think, in our day. We talk in a very familiar way about God. And there are some real important reasons why we do that, and really good reasons why we do that. So many things in our faith are kind of pendulums. We swing back and forth to different extremes. And in some ways, I think we've swung a bit towards the extreme here of God's our buddy. He's our pal, hanging out with God, and isn't that cool? And there's an element of that which are true and wonderful and glorious. And you can see the danger if that pendulum swings too far there, that we lose the power and might and majesty and glory and splendor and fear of God. And so when Paul says we can approach Him, it's not just like I can come up here and approach Roger. I mean, that's great. And this is, praise God, I can come and approach Roger. And we can approach God in a similar way. But we look back to chapter 2. Who is this God and who are we? We are those who are dead. We are those who rejected God. We are those who abandoned Him, who are sinful, who are bound towards hell. Every one of us. And it's God, the beautiful, almighty, glorious, all-powerful God. And it's Him that we can approach. That's profound and beautiful and glorious. And I want to know more about it. I want to understand this more. Thanks be to God. In these few verses here, Paul tells us more. First point he says is we may approach God. Okay? Well, on what basis are we able to approach God? What is the ground, the foundation upon which we are able to approach God? What is the reason that Paul says we are able to approach God? In verse 12. Does he say, because you are good, we may approach God? No. Does he say, because you are mighty and powerful and equal with God, you may approach God? No. No. I'm sure that some of the presidential advisors or the press secretary has pretty free access to the president because they're not equal to the president, but they're pretty close to him, you know, in power. Is that why, similar way that we're so special, so amazing and wonderful, is that why we may approach God? No. Paul says the basis on which we are able to approach God are right there in those first two words. In Him. In Christ. This is the foundation, the ground upon which we are able to approach God. Why are we able to approach God? Because we are in Christ. Because we are in Christ. Or rather, if we are in Christ. To those who are in Christ, we may approach God. We've talked to Ephesians all over the place, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. We receive our blessings from God in Christ. We are taken out of death and brought to life. And when we do it being brought out of death into life, we are put in Christ, positionally in Christ, abiding in Christ. John 15, 16, 17 there. That is, if we are and when we are in Him, beginning of verse 12, in Christ, we have the ability to approach God. It's not because we're good. It's not because we're wonderful. It's because we're in Jesus. Jesus is in the presence of God right now for all eternity. And there's no separating that. There's no canceling that. There's no way around that. And if we are in Christ, guess what? We are in the presence of God too. We can be brought in the presence of God too for when we are in Christ. That's the basis upon which we are able to approach God. Well, that's the basis. How are we able to approach God? What is the means by which we are able to approach God? The the basis, the foundation, is for if we are in Christ. What are the means by which we are able to approach God? Keep reading in verse 12. Through faith in Him, through faith in Christ, we may approach God. By faith, through faith. Faith is the means by which we approach God. It is only through faith that we are able to enter into God's presence. It is the vehicle by which we enter into God's presence. Remember back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? It says, it is by grace you have been saved. It's not by works we're saved. It's by God's grace. God's free gift. It's God who does it. God alone. Well, what is the means God uses to save us? To deliver His grace to us? Rest of verse 8 there. Through faith. The same thing as in our passage this morning. God saves us by grace, and He pours out this grace to us by faith. By our faith. How can we approach God? By faith. By faith. It's not the same as approaching Roger. I can see Roger. I can touch Roger. I can feel him. With God, for now, in this present age, we do not see Him. And so we approach Him, not trying to find some location, find some geography, find some miraculous sign of His, look for signs and wonders. We approach Him by faith, and by faith in Christ. When we put our faith in Christ unto salvation, that is the ability, the means, the way in which we are now able to approach God, is by faith in Christ. Not faith in my ability to stand before God. Not faith in, well, I have faith in Jesus and in Buddha and in my own ability and spreading my faith out here and here and here and here. No. We have the way, we have the ability to approach God when we have faith, and by faith, in Christ. So the basis that we may approach Christ, approach God, is that we are in Christ, when we are in Christ, if we are in Christ. The means by which we approach God is through faith. And finally, this verse 12 here, what is the manner in which we are able to approach God? What is the way in which we are able to approach God? Fear and trembling, with arrogance, with kind of cockiness about us. Let's go back to the passage and see. In what way are we able to approach God? The end of verse 12. With freedom and confidence. Friends, do you hear that word of God? We are able to approach God with freedom and with confidence. Not trembling, saying, will God receive me? Will He hear me? Will I be able to enter into His presence? Or will He shut me out because I've been sinful this week? Well, He shut me out because I haven't been to church in a long time. I haven't prayed in weeks and months. Is He going to shut me out? No. We know that we have the freedom to approach God, and we can do so in confidence because we are in Christ. Because our approach to God, remember, the way in which we approach God, the foundation in which we approach God is not our faithfulness, but if we're in Christ, therefore it's Christ's faithfulness. So we can approach Him with freedom and with confidence. Andrew Lincoln, a commentator, says, this word freedom here, says, it reflects the attitude of those who lack any fear or shame and have nothing to conceal because they are assured of God's gracious disposition towards them in Christ. This is the freedom we have to enter God's presence. Without fear that we should be ashamed, without fear that God is going to destroy and condemn us. Very much unlike Adam and Eve. after the fall, what was Adam's and Eve, after they ate of the apple, what was their attitude towards God and being in His presence? They hid. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, when they heard God walking in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid because of their shame, because of the sin that they had. And it was justified. It was justified. But now for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, that sin, that shame, friends, washed away. It's washed by the blood of Jesus Christ when we are in Christ. And so therefore we have that freedom to approach God and to come into His presence. We have confidence, not arrogance. We can enter His presence with confidence. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm getting there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We talked about Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the one who can intercede for us with God. He's the one who's gone into the Holy of Holies for us once for all. And says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can approach the throne of grace, the throne of God, with confidence. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our high priest, has gone before us. Friends, before Jesus, you couldn't do this. You weren't able to do this. You weren't able to approach God with confidence before. In the Old Testament, you know how the temple was set up, right? There was the inner section, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant resided, representing the presence of God. Could anyone just walk in there? No. One day a year, one person, the high priest, could walk in there to make sacrifice for atonement for the sins of the people. That was the whole purpose, and it was this amazing ceremony with fear and trembling. You've all heard about it. Tying the cord around the ankle in case they dropped dead. They were able to go into God's presence just once, just one person. But now, because of Jesus, who is the high priest who has gone into the Holy of Holies, we may enter into God's presence anytime, anywhere, with complete freedom, and with complete confidence. We may approach the throne of grace with confidence. Also, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Friends, this hasn't always been the case. For all eternity, God has not been able to be accessed with freedom. But now, because of Christ, my friends, if we are in Christ, we have that direct access to God. It doesn't have to be in a temple. It doesn't have to be in a certain land, in a certain place. It doesn't have to be with certain words. It doesn't have to be in a certain position, although the Scriptures do talk a lot about kneeling before God as an act of reverence and raising our hands before God as an act of submission. Right? Parenthesis. We raise our hands before God in worship. This is wonderful, by and large. This is wonderful this way, but by and large, it's our hands out like this because we're entering the presence of our King, and we are coming in a pose of surrender. Right? I give up. I give up. Here I am. Showing. And why do you hold your hands like this when you surrender? I have no weapons. I have nothing. I'm coming before the King's presence with no weapons. Here I am in full and total surrender to my King. That's part of the as we worship. That's part of that's this. Close parenthesis. It's a different sermon. Sorry. We are now free to enter God's presence because of Jesus. Anywhere, any time, any place, any situation. And because of this, because we may approach God, Paul says that we should have encouragement in our sufferings. Verse 13 says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Now the therefore here in verse 13 really refers back to all of verses 2 through 12 in chapter 3 here, where Paul says that God revealed the mystery of how he was going to work his kingdom, including Jews and Gentiles. And because of that, we have access to God now, as he just said in verse 12. And he says, because we have access to God through God's wonderful work, you don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be stressed out about the fact that I'm suffering, Paul says. Where's Paul sitting as he's writing this? On a beach on the North African shores? No, he's in prison. He's in jail in Rome right now, not knowing if he's going to live or die. Brought here, not because he sinned, but because he followed God. How about that? You put little promises from Scripture up on your wall. How about one of those, right? If you follow God, you'll go to jail. Or as 2 Timothy 2:12 says, all who seek to lead a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Promise. You will be persecuted. And Paul was. He's sitting in jail. And as Paul says, as I'm sitting in jail, as I'm suffering for the gospel, as I'm suffering on your behalf, don't be discouraged. Why? I have free and confident access to God. As I'm sitting right here in this prison cell, cut off from the outside world, I have complete access to God. I am free, even though I'm in chains. I can be with Jesus all day long. And that's wonderful. Paul says, I'm sitting here not because of some accident. It's not some mistake that I'm in jail, that I'm suffering for your behalf. It's because I'm exactly where Jesus wants me. This is exactly God's will for my life today, to be sitting in this prison cell. And therefore, don't be discouraged. Don't worry about it. In fact, rejoice. Paul says in 2 Corinthians verse 17, that, I'm going to quote it exactly. What a powerful verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, our light and momentary troubles. Okay, think about Paul's troubles for a second. Right? Prison, he got, you know, to try to kill him by stoning him, whipped, the lashes, shipwrecked. Not exactly what I would call light and momentary, but Paul calls them light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul says, my sufferings now, my sufferings here on earth as I walk with Jesus are creating glory in heaven for me and for the kingdom of God that will last forever. Little teeny bit of suffering over here, here and now, Paul says. And what that doing, it's not just, well, you know, I'm gonna just, you know, stiff upper lip here and just pull my bootstraps. I'm going to get to this suffering because I know there's something better waiting. He actually says, this suffering here is creating the glory. Meaning without the suffering, there'd be a different type of, not as much smaller, grasping for words here, glory awaiting Paul in heaven. His suffering, he says, is good. It's good. And not only is it good for Paul, and to verse 13, this suffering, he says, my sufferings are your glory. They're also glory for the people Paul is suffering on behalf of and suffering for. Paul says, I'm not worried about my suffering. I have free and confident and complete access to God the Father, even though I'm sitting in a prison cell. I'm not worried, and therefore you should not be either. Free and complete access to God. You know, friends, you and I do not have access to the President of the United States, by and large. There's a relationship there which we cannot have with him. But it is a picture that describes the relationship we can have with God Almighty. President John F. Kennedy, when he was in the White House, he had two small children, you know, John and Carolyn, were there. And there are wonderful stories told about these kids just running crazy through the White House and through the grounds, you know. And there's a wonderful picture that many of you are familiar with of President Kennedy sitting at his desk in the Oval Office. The most powerful room in the world. Absolutely intimidating, right? Some movies have quoted talked about that too, where it's the best home court advantage in the world. That you walk into that Oval Office and no matter who you are, like Elvis they talked about, right? When he walked into there to visit President Nixon, he just was trembling, struck by the awe of this presence of being in the Oval Office in the President's presence. Well, the desk that John F. Kennedy sat at, I guess, had a little secret door in the bottom of it. And while kings of state could not enter into that room, his little son John used to play under that desk. He used to hide out there. You've seen the famous picture there. Him just hiding under there. He had access. Why? It was his daddy. It wasn't the President of the United States to John. It was his daddy. The story's told, too, of when President Kennedy, he's about 3 or 4 years old here, John. When President Kennedy was entertaining a contingent from the Japanese government, full state, entrance into the Oval Office, very serious, very high ceremony there. Everyone walks in and it's choreographed so exactly. And in the middle of the meeting, as they're all standing, little John comes, boom, 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 running down the hall, runs into the Oval Office, and just jumps into his dad's arms. Friends, that's full and free and confident access. Yeah, he's the President of the United States, but why can John have total access to him? It's his daddy. It's his Abba Father. Friends, that's who God is for us if we're in Christ. He's our Abba Father, and we can run and jump right into his lap no matter what's going on in our life. No matter what's going on in our life, friends. In our trials and in our afflictions, no matter what they be, friends, God is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are safe. We may run into him. He's our Father, but he's a mighty Father. So friends, what are our trials? What prison cells are we sitting in today? Is it our health? Are we just weighed down by the health of ourselves or a loved one that is shattered and we don't know if they're going to live or die? Are we weighed down with mourning and grieving over the loss of our mother, of our parent? Are we grieving for the loss of, this week in the town, a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old and who knows how many others this week? Are we weighed down by the stress of the financial pressures that we are under where we just do not know how in the world we're going to make it through? Weighed down by the horrors of your family, you see your family breaking before you and shattering those relationships, and it's no longer a safe, loving environment, but it's one of constant stress and tension and fear. Where are we today? What prison are we sitting in? What suffering are we sitting in? I tell you, and again, not in a cavalier way, that no matter what is going on today, my friends, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have complete, free, confident access to God Almighty, who loves you and is working for you and is bringing you to heaven for all eternity, where there's no more of this suffering stuff going on. You may be in the midst of a prison of your own making, friends. You may be there because of your own sin and your own choices and your own decisions. And say, you like Adam and Eve are hiding from God because of your shame. I say to you now, friends, that your Heavenly Father sees and knows. And He too calls you now in Christ Jesus to come. Come into His presence. Trust in Christ alone to wash away that shame, to wash away that sin. You can't do it on your own, but Christ can and will when you come to Him in faith. And then you too, complete access and freedom before God Almighty, friends. If you're in prison today, do not suffer needlessly. Do not be discouraged by it. It is quite possibly God. I can't phrase that differently. I'm going to say it. Where we are today, it's God's will. If God has placed you in your situation, as our sovereign Lord does, it is not an accident. God has you there. And God says, I am here with you. Let's come to Him. Let's pray. Father God, I ask and pray for those here who are in Christ, that no matter what the prison they are in, that, O Lord God, we may come to You in Christ through faith. And be with You, O Lord God, in the midst of our prison. Knowing Your love and Your mercy and Your grace and Your presence. And I pray, Father, for any of those, any here who do not yet know You, who have not ever had that intimate access with You because they are not yet in Christ. I pray now, O God, that You would bring them to Yourself. You would redeem them. By the blood of the Lamb, through faith. Oh, Father, thank You for free access to You. No matter where we are or what we're going through, thank You, Almighty God. We pray to You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ushers, please come forward.